Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. So who decides who is worthy to be here today? Who makes the decision about who's worthy of God's love and grace? Who gets to decide? Is it you? Is it the bishop? Is it the church council? Is it society? Who gets to decide who is worthy of God's grace? In the first service, one of the little boys said, "It's me." In this reading for this morning, Jesus finds himself in the region of Tyre, where he is approached by a woman. She's a Syrophoenician woman. She is a Gentile. And this woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit came to him and immediately came and said to him, begging him to drive the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus makes a decision. I asked the kids this morning, "So, what do you think Jesus said? Do you think that he healed her?" And they all said, "Yes." And I said, "Yeah, we all think Jesus is so nice," but Jesus says, "No." He says it in a roundabout way, but he says to her, "Look, why would we feed the dogs before we feed the children?" You who I did not come to serve, you who are not one of my people, you who are not one of God's chosen, why would we give the food to you? I've often preached this text as sort of the conversion of Jesus or the repentance of Jesus, which always sticks a little in people's craws. Because if Jesus is perfect and nice and my buddy, what would he have to need repentance for? But she says to him without missing a beat, "Sir, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall off the table." And Jesus repents. Jesus repents and says, "For saying that, go. Your daughter is healed." It's no accident that in the Gospel of Mark, the story that follows immediately afterward is another story about being opened. For that moment when Jesus responds to that Syrophoenician woman, his heart is opened up to a different way of thinking about his mission in God. And in the very next text, Jesus goes to the area around the Decapolis where he encounters a man who is deaf and who has an impediment in his speech. They brought the man to him, and they begged him to lay hands on him, and he takes him away and gives him a wet willy, spits and touches his tongue, the whole thing very unhygienic. And he says this word, "Ephatha, be opened." Be opened. And immediately his ears were unstopped and his tongue was loosened and he was healed. It's a powerful moment in which Jesus, in this time of great stress, in this time of his people being taken over by the Romans, being captive, in a time when there was this growing expectation of a Messiah who would fix everything. And if you remember from the Gospels that come before this, Jesus has figured out that he has called 12 of the dumbest people that have ever walked the earth. and he's probably stressed about that. They don't seem to get anything. And as a matter of fact, most of his disciples have left him. These are troubled times. And Jesus says, Ephatha, be opened. Be opened in the same way that I have just been opened. Be open to the cries of those who do not seem to belong. Well, we find ourselves in troubled times as well, where decency and love and care are under fire from every turn, where war rages around the earth. But it's not the first time we've been in difficult times. Every generation feels as if the time they're in now must be the most challenging time. But there have been other times we have struggled in this country. I'm thinking particularly of the 50s and the 60s, with race riots and all of the things that were happening back in those days. People began to close themselves off. You remember, those of you who are not as old as I am, I'm sorry. But I looking around, many of you are. The McCarthy trials, all of the things that happened, tough times, and both the church and our country began to close itself in. But there rose out of that an interesting hero. You all know his name. I'm quite certain of it. I would guess even some of our younger people may know his name. He was, what's that? John Lennon. Let it be, let it be. Yeah, I don't know. That's not who I was thinking of, but he was actually, yeah, thank you, Sue. Not our country. He's a Presbyterian minister. He's a very quiet, slight man, who, you beat me to it. Yeah, his name was Fred Rogers. Mr. Rogers. It wasn't until I saw a movie about him a couple weeks ago that I finally understood who he was. As a young person, I will confess, I spent very little time watching Mr. Rogers. Here's the deal. On this hand, Mr. Rogers, sweetness, light, a little train that never traveled more than 4 feet, a sock puppet, and isn't it nice? On the other hand, the other choice for me was, of course, Johnny Quest, with people getting shot and aliens and men dressed as crocodiles eating other people. What are you going to choose? What I didn't know was that Mr. Rogers was quietly promulgating a revolution. In the 60s, it was illegal. Late 50s, it was illegal in many places for a black person to swim in the same swimming pool as a white person. One of the states or municipalities, I can't remember which, repealed that law and said, here in this place, we're going to allow that. And as a sign of jubilance and joy, some black and white ministers all went to this hotel and they jumped into the swimming pool together. I mean, a bunch of ministers. Just get it out of your head. And they were all swimming in the pool, and there was this incredible film of them swimming in the pool and laughing and splashing each other just like little children. And out marches the manager of the hotel. And he has bottles of Lysol and cleaning fluids and all kinds of stuff with him. And he just begins to pour it into the pool and yells, "You niggers, get out of here." astonishing. The next Mr. Rogers show began with Mr. Rogers sitting on a hot day, dabbing his brow, sitting with his feet in one of those plastic swimming pools. And up walks the police officer of the show, a black man. And he walks up and he says, "Oh, Mr. Rogers, it's a hot day. That sure looks good." And Mr. Rogers says in this wonderful, gentle voice, "It sure feels good. Would you like to join me?" And the black man hesitates and he said, "Yes, I would." And he sits down and he peels off his socks and his shoes and he puts his feet in the water with Mr. Rogers, right in the swimming pool. And they chat about how nice it feels and how it has cooled them off. And finally he says, "Well, I guess I'd better get back to my beat." And Mr. Rogers says, "Yes, I should too." And so Mr. Rogers takes his feet out of the water and the black man takes his feet out of the water and Mr. Rogers dries his feet. And the officer says, "Oh gosh, I don't have anything to dry my feet." And Mr. Rogers hands him his towel and he begins to dry his feet. And Mr. Rogers says, "Let me help you." And he dries the officer's feet. Now, if you'd ever been to a Maundy Thursday service in your whole life, you could not have missed it. This quiet, gentle warrior of peace reminded us as a people, through our children, to be opened. Ephatha. To be open to a kind of radical love that seemed so foreign to us. And still does. At the end of every show, Fred Rogers would take off his sweater and put back on his jacket and take his tennis shoes off and put on his street shoes. And he would look into the camera at your children, at you, and say, "I just want you to know I love you just for who you are." Early on in the series, one of his members of the cast, who happened to be gay, was seen by another cast member in a gay bar in another part of LA. He knew he had been seen. And he knew, given what was happening in the United States at that time around what it meant to be gay and lesbian and transgendered, he was sure he was going to come back and be fired. This was a children's show, after all. Pure and nice and wonderful. And sure enough, he got back to work. And Fred said, "You know, I need to talk with you." And he said, "Hey, I understand you were seen at this gay bar." And he said, "Yeah, I was." And Fred said, "You can never go back there." And that was the end of the discussion. A couple of weeks later, as he struggled with what it meant to be who he was, this cast member began to think about what Mr. Rogers said every single time, after every single show. And one day it finally hit him. And he walked up to Fred Rogers and he said, "I finally get it." And Fred said, "Well, get what?" And he said, every time you say, I love you, you are loved just for who you are, exactly how you are, and I love you for who you are and exactly who you are, this cast member said, I finally get it. You've been talking to me. And Fred smiled and he said, oh, Frank, I've been talking to you for 2 years. I love you exactly as you are. And the man collapsed in tears. And he said, that's what he said. The angels were singing. And he said, do you know, not once in my adult life has an adult male said to me, I love you. It's a be opened moment. Ephatha. So now we live in a world these days where it is more popular to tweet or to Facebook one's dislikes and one's preferences, one's hates and one's prejudices. But oh, if we could listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, where we are called, in fact, to Ephatha, to be open to a way of living and of life and of theology and of church doing and of economy and of the mere cosmos. To be opened up to that infinite love of God that says to each one of us and to a Syrophoenician woman and to a man born mute and deaf, I love you exactly as you are. No matter your race or your color or your economic position, your sexuality, your politics. I love you. And so I say, in the name of Jesus, Ephatha, be open.